Laser flew from my grip as I crashed through another platform, finally coming to a stop at the very bottom of the room in a tangle of shattered wood.
Oh, fuck, that hurt.
I wheezed as pain shot through my body, forcing me to lay still as I collected myself.
Lyrian, are you okay?
Amaranth's concerned mental voice rang through my mind, causing me to wince at the sudden intrusion.
I think so,
I replied slowly, waiting for my head to stop spinning.
Hold on a moment.
Looking around, I realized I had fallen to the very bottom of what once was the lookout point for the tower when it still stood. The tower's fall having shattered the wall that now rested on the ground. Dirt was intermixed with broken stone fragments, giving a ragged, if firm, terrain to move around. For the first time since entering the room, I noticed a handful of arrow slits and larger, dirt-covered windows that adorned the walls, casting beams of light that weakly illuminated the room.
Ugh, that fall took another 20% off my health.
I looked at my greatly depleted health bar, seeing only 115 hit points remaining out of my 594 maximum.
I really need to be more Hang on. What's that burning smell?
Pushing myself up into a seated position, I immediately planted my hand onto something hot, causing myself to yelp in pain and surprise.
Ow, fuck!
As I flinched to move my hand away from the heat, the motion sent a spray of embers tumbling onto the ground beside me. Quickly looking about, I instantly realized I'd just fallen onto a small cooking pit that the goblins had set against the far stone wall, where it wouldn't set the opposite wooden wall on fire, and by extension their carefully built platforms and scaffolds that led up and out of the room.
Of course, with my luck I had to fucking land right on top of a fire,
I cursed as I quickly tried to free myself from all the debris that had fallen on top of me, only to have pieces spark and catch fire as I moved them.
Oh, shit!
The dry and aged wood almost instantly caught a flame, spreading quickly as it began to consume the wood. Out of reflex, I began to slap the fires out before catching myself and stopping.
Hang on a second.
I looked towards the western wooden wall that spanned from floor to ceiling.
What do I care if this place burns down? In fact, since we're here to cause a little bit of destruction, maybe I can help this along.
With a demonic smile on my face, I happily indulged my inner pyromaniac. I began to pile burning debris against the far wooden wall in hopes of setting the structure aflame. If nothing else, it would damage the front section of the tower and eventually burn itself out once it consumed all the wood in the old roof of the tower. While looking for more kindling, I found the broken form of the goblin that I had kicked off the platform, having landed badly from its fall.
Well, at least I don't need to worry about him down here.
Taking my eyes off the dead goblin, I resumed my search, seeing that the goblins had taken advantage of the internal space of the tower, setting up a number of homes at the bottom of this room, indicated by crude fences of sticks driven into the dirt, or an array of stones laid out in a square. Inside the spaces, I saw lengths of crudely cut fur on piles of dried grasses serving as beds for the goblins. Grabbing armfuls of the rather foul-smelling thatch, I threw it onto the smoldering debris, quickly being rewarded by a flare of heat as it caught fire.
It's working!
I had to cover my face to shield myself from the heat as the fire caught onto the wooden wall and began to spread rather quickly.
Oh, this is catching fast.
Hungrily consuming the ancient dry wood, the fire had no problems finding purchase on the wooden wall as it began to spread outwards from the burning debris, growing in size and intensity every second that passed.
Okay, I may have overdone it,
I said worriedly to myself as I saw the pillar of fire begin to tickle the only platform leading back up and out of the room.
I need to find Razor and get the fuck out of here.
Retreating quickly from the increasingly intense heat, I returned to the spot where I had crash-landed, urgently tearing through the debris looking for my sword. It took a moment of frantically clawing through the pile before I found my trusty blade in the mess. Quickly sheathing Razor, I broke into a sprint, moving to run up the ramp before the fire spread too far.
I'm coming back up,
I sent to Amaranth as I stormed up the ramps, feeling an intense wash of heat as I passed over the flames that were quickly climbing up the wall.
How's everything there?
The dirty ones fight hard, and more have joined the fight from below,
Amaranth replied back to me, a nervous note in his mental voice.
Drace and Abaddon struggle to hold the goblins at bay, while the others attack from afar. They are desperate in the defense of their den.
As soon as I get there, we'll need to move quickly. I felt my lungs beginning to struggle as I climbed higher, the smoke of the burning wood wafting upwards as I ran. I could hear the sounds of battle above me as I ascended from an adjoining ramp and got closer to the fight. I'm almost there!
What is happening?
Amaranth asked me urgently.
I smell smoke and fire.
Yeah, that was me. I sprinted across another platform before climbing up another ramp, appearing just behind a crowd of goblins attempting to swarm Drace and Abaddon, who were both holding off separate goblin assaults, their large statures forcing them to adopt an awkwardly cramped stance in the tight space. Drace had positioned himself to hold back the goblins attacking from the lower level I had just come from, while Abaddon fought against goblins descending from a ramp above. As the two warriors kept the bulk of the goblin horde in place, Halcyon defended the rest of the party, channeling his force shield to provide some degree of cover on the otherwise exposed platforms. This gave our two scouts and mages a chance to focus fire on the rest of the goblins, who were almost all equipped with similar bows to the stalkers I had just fought earlier. It's like I've stumbled into a bizarre shootout. A goblin collapsed to the ground ahead of me as a combined spray of magic and arrows finally overwhelmed it. But not before I heard Serral's voice cry out as an arrow snuck past Halcyon's shield into the lower-leveled novice. Shit, I need to move faster. Chancing a quick glance over the side, I found the fire practically leaping up the wall as it burned faster and faster. Oh, please be an exit somewhere up top. Gritting my teeth, I quickly checked my health, seeing that it thankfully regenerated just over 40% in the time it had taken me to climb up the goblin-made structure, giving me a little bit more confidence in jumping back into the fray. Putting power into my sprint, I charged the crowd of goblins that had their backs turned to me, hopping over a trio of dead goblins as I ran, their bodies riddled with arrows and magical burns. Lowering my shoulder, I plowed into a goblin aiming its bow at Drace, sending it flying off the platform and into the fires below.
Lear!
Drace shouted out in surprise as my timely assistance caused the goblin's arrow to fire high over the warrior's head. Seeing the look of urgency on my face, he quickly shouted back,
What's going on? We need to go up! Quickly!
I shouted at the warrior, ruthlessly shoving a goblin from behind, sending it falling off the edge of the platform.
Don't worry about killing them, just knock them off. The fire will take care of them. Fire? What fire?
Drace couldn't help but follow the descent of the goblin I'd just thrown off the platform, instantly spotting the growing blaze climbing up the wall.
Holy hell, Lyrian! What the fuck did you do?
Fuck, I knew it was getting hot in here,
I heard Caius shout over the noise of combat.
Not again with the fire?
Oh, yeah! This is getting to be my kind of party!
Constantine's laugh boomed through the room.
Lighten up, Caius!
The four remaining goblins, having finally caught on to my presence and clearly able to understand our shouting, recoiled from Drace, looking down at the now raging fire below. I saw a flash of panic cross their stunned faces as the significance of what was happening caught up to them, followed by a howl of rage. Almost as one, they all ran from Drace, charging directly at me, intent on avenging their now burning home. Note to self. Setting someone's home on fire, understandably, puts you at the top of the aggro list. I drew Razor as I sprinted towards the goblins, ready to meet their charge head-on, carefully calculating the timing of what I was about to attempt. As the distance between the goblins and me closed, I quickly triggered Blinkstep, teleporting me barely 5 feet forward, directly in front of the leading pair of goblins. Once again, I crashed into the smaller goblins, my sudden teleport catching them all off stride. Barreling directly between the four goblins, I felt a dagger pierce into my thigh as I shoved my way through the goblins, pasting the leftmost goblins hard against the wall while sending the two goblins on my right sailing over the edge of the platform and into the fires below. Running past the other goblins, I felt another dagger tag me in the back as I ran towards Drace, shouting at the warrior to move.
Go, go, go! We need to start going up!
I urgently motioned towards the ramp that Abaddon had been fighting at, seeing that the goblins had retreated upwards.
What about?
Drace started to ask me something before a thunderous echo of a pyroclap filled the room as Halcyon dropped his shield, centering the spell on the two goblins I had just ran past. Wasting no time to zero in on the two exposed goblins, the rest of the ranged group members quickly overwhelmed the pair, sending them both crashing to the ground.
Lyrian, what did you do?
Freya shouted at me as the rest of the party started to press forward along the platform.
I'll tell you later! Abaddon, go!
I shouted at the concerned-looking lizard man, who stood at the base of the ramp leading upwards, watching the fire below.
Move!
Moving sounds good,
the aspiring warrior hissed. My shout finally pierced through his shock.
Follow me. Don't stop for anything.
I nervously watched the group charge up the ramp, waiting for everyone to go ahead of me. Bringing up the rear, I spotted both Huxley and Sarrow for what seemed to me like the first time in hours, both looking terrified while following Drace as he awkwardly crab-walked up the ramp. I noticed Sarrow favoring his blood-soaked side as he walked, having already pulled the goblin arrow free.
We must go!
Amaranth glared at me as a wave of heat wafted up from below. The temperature was on the verge of becoming unbearable.
Go! I'm right behind you!
I waved the puma ahead as we both charged up the ramp, finding that the goblin design followed the same pattern as below, forcing us to run the length of the room before ascending to the next level. As we climbed higher, smoke began to fill the entirety of the room, forcing me to hold my breath as I climbed.
Heads up!
Halcyon shouted, a clap of thunder echoing through the air above me, quickly followed by a spray of debris and a pair of screaming goblins falling past me.
Keep going! Jump!
Ah!
I covered my face as shards of wood from the blast glanced off my helmet, forcing me to focus on the path ahead of me, keeping my eyes turned downward. As I ran, I caught sight of the now blazing inferno below. By the time I reached the top level, my eyes were watering and my lungs were beginning to burn. Blinking through tears, I saw Freya leap across a shattered section of the platform that led directly into the stone wall. Stumbling forward, I tried to keep my head as low as possible while running towards the remaining group members.
Yes, a stairway!
I felt an intense wave of relief wash over me as I saw Halcyon leap across the shattered gap just behind Freya, revealing a passage heading further into the tower. With true sight cutting through the smoke, I risked a glance upwards, seeing that nearly everyone had made it, leaving only Cyril, Huxley, and Amaranth on the ledge ahead. Wasting no time, Huxley followed Halcyon over the gap, quickly followed by a coughing Cyril. My heart leaped into my mouth as I saw Cyril stagger on the edge of the platform, windmilling his arms to catch his balance. Just before I thought Sarah would fall, Huxley's hand shot out, grabbing the man by the collar and pulling him down the stairs out of sight.
Phew!
I couldn't help but exhale as I motioned to Amaranth.
Go!
Flicking an ear at me, Amaranth shot forward, leaping across the gap easily. As soon as he landed, Amaranth glanced back, a look of panic crossing his face as both of its ears pointed forward towards me.
Hurry!
I felt the platform around me suddenly shudder, the sound of cracking wood filling the air. A huge gap opened along the wooden edge of the ceiling as the wooden wall began to pull itself apart, sending me reeling backwards into the wall.
This place is coming down!
I pushed myself forward as the platform shuddered a second time. Forcing myself to run against the pull of gravity, I stormed across the shaking platform, leaping into the air towards the stairway. Flying through the smoke, I landed hard beside Amaranth, rolling to a stop. Looking back behind me, I saw the entire wooden roof of the tower tear itself free as it collapsed from the burning blaze right on top of the goblin village below.
Fuck! That was close.
I gasped heavily, trying to suck in fresh air. I felt a wave of energy surge into me. The same instant, a message flashed across my vision.
Congratulations! You have reached level 11.
Chapter 43.
Woohoo! Level 11!
I heard Constantine exclaim as I slid down the smooth ramp with a set of stairs hanging overhead. Sliding to a stop as I gently bumped into Amaranth, I saw the rest of the party ahead of me, crammed into one another as the stairway twisted to our right with another flight of stairs above us leading even deeper into the tower.
Okay. Maybe that wasn't so bad this time,
Caius whispered cautiously.
Don't say that!
Halcyon slapped Caius on the shoulder while waving an arm at me.
You'll give him ideas! Lear!
Sierra turned to hiss at me as I came into sight, her eyes boring into mine.
What the fuck?
I looked around nervously to see everyone except Constantine and Amaranth glaring at me. Constantine had a broad smile on his face as he gave me a wink, followed by a thumbs up.
"Don't stop, Lear." Sierra cupped a hand to her ear. "I'm curious to know just how the tower just happened to fucking catch fire and why you were running like a fucking guilty bat flying out of hell."
"So, after I fell," I looked at all of the unsympathetic faces, seeing everyone covered in ash and smoke.
"I landed right on top of a dragon, you see, and it wasn't happy that I woke it up."
"A dragon?"
Zethys exclaimed excitedly as he squirmed to get out from under his friends.
"There was a dragon in there."
Constantine barked a short laugh at Zethys's naivete, while Sierra just rolled her eyes.
"No, Zeth. Larian's just full of shit."
Freya shook her head, a small grin crossing her face.
"Oh,"
Zethys replied, sounding disappointed.
"Seriously, Lear?" Trace looked at me pointedly. "What happened?"
Looking at the big warrior, I let out a sigh.
"I fell on a cooking pit, panicked when some debris near me caught fire. Then, instead of putting it out, I decided to pile it against the wooden wall to set the place on fire."
Everyone looked at me with an incredulous expression on their faces, their mouths hanging open in disbelief.
"Okay,"
Trace finally replied, shaking his head slowly, breaking the spell that had everyone fixated on me.
"At least we hit level 11.
"Is fire a regular thing with these guys?"
I heard Freya whisper to Sierra as she jerked her thumb in my direction.
"It's starting to be."
Sierra rubbed her eyes as she spoke.
"Constantine suggested setting fire to the forest once."
"It would have saved time," Constantine grumbled. "Fucking spiders."
"Oh dear."
Freya cast a sympathetic look at Sierra while patting her on the shoulder before they began to untangle themselves and follow the rest of the party, who had begun to climb up the adjacent stairway which angled upwards. Waiting for my turn, I quickly brought up my character sheet, looking over the much-anticipated bonuses a new level always brought.
"I haven't had a chance to check, but it looks like we do get experience for killing other players, a little bit more than a regular monster at the same level."
Putting my newly earned attribute points into strength, I double-checked my stats, wistfully looking at the experience bar that had now reset itself with an even higher mountain to climb before reaching the next level. Lyrian Rastler, level 11 Spellsword, human male, Iberian. Statistics, HP, 638 out of 638, stamina, 580 out of 580, mana, 640 out of 640, experience to next level, 54 out of 23,200. Attributes, strength, 41, 48. Agility, 36, 43. Constitution, 36. Intelligence, 42. Willpower, 16.
"Looking good,"
I thought to myself with a nod as I confirmed my choices and dismissed the sheet. "We'll have to probably balance out agility for the next few levels, but at least intelligence is steadily improving, with only my racial and class attribute increases every level."
"Come on, Lear,"
Constantine called to me as I quickly ran up the ramp, having sent Cyril and Huxley on ahead. "We're up." Following Constantine up the ramp, I paid special attention not to crack my head off the stairs above me, sliding down the next adjacent ramp as we descended across the fallen length of the tower. After repeating the process twice, we found ourselves climbing out onto a ledge, overlooking a wide-open space within the now hollow inside of the tower, the damaged middle section having bent slightly upwards as it slid down the hill ages past.
"Whoa,"
I said nervously, looking out over the edge, seeing everyone else caught by the same sight. An arc of sunlight shone through a crack where the two pieces of the tower had broken, illuminating long vines and other plants that had grown downwards into the gap between the broken fragments. Following the plants downwards, I saw that the far ground was almost entirely covered with dirt and shattered stone, remnants from the rooms that once were the innards of the tower.
"Lear!"
I felt Halcyon grab my wrist as he pulled my attention over to the northern side of the ledge, pointing at something that hung suspended in the air.
"Look!"
A 2-foot-thick metallic pole connected to the far western wall of the tower, directly underneath the room we had just escaped from. spanning the entire length of the stairway we'd just traveled through, before burying itself into the dirt below us. Turning my head, I saw a second length of the pole, having snapped during the tower's fall, protruding from the slowly rising dirt at an odd angle, running away from us and into the second section of the ancient tower.
"The center of the tower was hollow?"
I asked Halcyon with confusion, indicating the two huge shattered lengths of metal.
"What the hell is that thing for?"
"I don't know. Doesn't look like it'd be used to support the weight of the tower,"
Halcyon replied with a shrug.
"Seems like a huge waste of space, but it must have been for something, especially with metal being so fucking expensive."
Everyone quickly crowded the edge of the platform, overhearing our conversation, looking out at the strange contraption.
"Better question for the moment,"
Cadmus began, waving at the edge.
"How are we going to get down? I'd rather not jump."
We all looked around, seeing that Cadmus had just hit the nail on the head with his question. Whatever room once connected the stairway that we had just passed through had long since collapsed, leaving us with a rather long 40-foot drop until we reached the dirt-packed bottom that had filled the lower third of the tower.
"I see a ledge down there,"
Caius said, peering over the edge.
"It's about 20 feet down, though."
"Well, that solves the problem for Amaranth,"
Constantine replied, looking at the big cat.
"That sort of fall might hurt for the rest of us."
"Hey,"
Cyril suddenly spoke up, pointing downwards.
"There are hand grips carved into the wall here. Looks like they've just recently been widened to human size, too. Looks like they lead straight down along the outer wall."
"That'll do for us,"
Sierra replied, bending to look down at the hand grips.
"Might be a bit tight for the bigger guys, though."
"We'll manage," Trace said with a shrug. "After cramming myself up those ramps and platforms, and having them creak and crunch with every step I took, I can deal with small handholds."
Taking turns, we each stepped out over the edge and slowly made our way downwards, thankfully without any mishaps along the way. Once reaching the bottom, our feet sank into the wet, muddy ground, the water that had found its way in from the storm not yet having drained away in the closed environment.
"My friends are really close."
Cyril grabbed my arm as he whispered softly, pointing east and upwards towards the second section of the tower.
"I wasn't paying attention earlier, but I think they've moved."
"They did?" I asked, while everyone quickly stopped to huddle around Cyril.
"Where? What happened?" "I think they moved higher,"
Cyril struggled to explain as he pointed in the same direction as before.
"I think they used to be further away and not quite as high, but with us running through the other section of the tower and climbing down now, I'm not entirely sure."
"What about Graves?"
Sierra asked, looking towards Huxley.
"That way,"
Huxley quickly replied, pointing almost straight ahead, despite the upward incline in front of us.
"I think that other adventurer was telling the truth. Graves might have found a route into the hill. He seems too low to be anywhere in the tower."
"We'll figure that out after we find Cyril's friends," I said, nodding at Huxley. "Good to know we're on the right path." Continuing forward, we slowly ascended the gentle incline that separated the two offset sections of the tower, momentarily stepping into the sunlight as we crossed the gap. We took care not to disrupt the low-hanging vines that hung from the gap above any more than we had to, pushing them gently aside as we passed. Once on the other side of the sunbeam, we looked upwards, seeing the other half of the massive metallic pole jutting from the ground beside us. Our eyes followed the mysterious pole, seeing that it had sagged from bearing its own weight for untold ages, a gentle bend appearing along its length. Hanging limply in the air ahead of us, it led deeper into the second fragment of the tower, vanishing into a large hole cut in the very center of a damaged stone wall. As we continued walking, we found the lower third of the wall completely missing, having shattered from the fall that knocked the tower over. Finding it easier to move, I noticed that the ground on this side of the space was completely dry, the water from the storm having run downwards to the opposite end of the room. Looking at my feet, I saw that the ground had been disturbed, torn up even.
"What happened here? This looks fresh."
"They should be here,"
Sarah whispered, looking upwards, his gaze going towards the gap in the wall where the pole had vanished.
"They should be right there."
We all looked upwards where the pole was resting on the stone, all surprised to see a man suddenly step out onto the ledge.
"It took you all long enough to get here,"
The man's unfamiliar voice called out as he looked down at us.
Once I felt everyone else dying outside, I never doubted that you all would. Carver!
Freya shouted. At the same instant, the thunder lizards all hissed in rage.
Ah, Freya!
The half-orc smiled, rubbing his hands together with delight.
I had hoped you would come, and you brought your friends too. How delightful! I was worried you had forgotten about me. How I wish I could, you sick son of a bitch!
Freya yelled up at the man.
I don't know how the fuck this game is still letting you play with half the shit you've pulled. Oh my, it's a pity to hear such coarse language from a lady.
Carver clucked his tongue in disapproval, wagging a finger at Freya.
If only there was time to teach you some proper manners. Perhaps another day. You see, I'm rather in a hurry.
Running away again, Carver, Thorn shouted back. Are you afraid to fight us on even terms, without needing Graves to hold your hand?
Needing Graves? Ha!
Carver's laugh boomed through the hollow tower as he sneered down at us.
He was useful for a time, but unfortunately has since lost his way. It's I who no longer have any need for him, and your arrival gives me the perfect opportunity to cut and run.
What are you talking about? I finally decided to enter the conversation. What happened to Graves?
Oh, I guess you could say he's not exactly Graves anymore.
Carver flicked his eyes over to me as he smirked, lifting his hand up.
Maybe you'll find out if you survive what's coming next. Either way, thanks for giving us the chance to escape.
Seconds after Carver's signal, a handful of other adventurers appeared behind the half-orc, roughly pushing three other people ahead of them.
Jordan!
Cyril shouted, rushing forward towards his friends high on the ledge ahead.
Cyril, run!
Jordan shouted while struggling to get away from the adventurer that held him from behind.
They
do it!
Carver snapped, slicing his hand through the air. The other adventurers immediately kicking Jordan and Cyril's other friends off of the ledge. As they plummeted towards the ground, I noticed something dark trailing their fall, before they suddenly jerked to a stop with a loud snap of breaking bone. The three of them hung limply, their heads lolling at an unnatural angle, as I saw a set of ropes looped around each of their necks.
Carver!
Freya shouted with rage.
What the fuck did you do?
I believe that's fairly obvious, my dear,
Carver replied with a laugh.
I killed them.
Why?
Cyril screamed, rushing forward to his friend's hanging forms, eyes brimming with tears.
They were no threat to you?
Of course they weren't.
Carver waved his hand dismissively, looking down at Cyril.
But the other things down there are.
As if on cue, I saw nearly two dozen azure auras bloom to life ahead of me, a short distance past where the broken wall ended. Standing awkwardly, they began to shamble toward us, their auras becoming more and more distinct as they approached.
Hal?
A worried tone escaped my voice as I looked to the other mage to confirm what I saw.
Cyril, get back here!
I see it too, Lear.
Halcyon's eyes had gone wide as he too saw the shuffling forms in the distance with his arcane sight.
Really? I did your friends a huge favor!
Carver laughed once again, joined by the other adventurers standing beside him.
A long drop with a short rope will be much easier to get over compared to what these creatures would do to you all. They seem to rather enjoy rending the flesh from their victims, be they dead or alive, before they eat it. Goodbye for now, kids!
Carver waved mockingly at us, the other adventurers turning to walk away from the ledge.
Uncle Carver will drop in sometime soon, once he and his friends find a place to bind themselves. Until then, enjoy playing with your new toys.
Get back here!
Freya shouted at Carver's retreating form, darting forward before Helix grabbed her by the arm.
Helix, let me go!
Freya, stop!
Helix pointed towards the darker shadows where I saw the auras approaching from.
Look!
Oh, God. I heard someone gasp as the creatures stepped out into the light. A horde of emaciated humanoids shambled out of the gloom from under the stone wall, stumbling across the rough rubble of the ground. Some appeared to be grotesquely deformed goblins, while others were once clearly humans, dwarves, or elves. Whatever vestiges of sapience they once possessed had long since been consumed by their transformation. Their skin was now a charred black color, with scraps of clothes still hanging from their flesh. Milky white eyes gazed blindingly into the distance, seemingly no longer used for sight. Crowding around the hanging adventurers, they reached upwards with wicked, groping claws, tearing strips of flesh from the bodies effortlessly.
What the fuck?
Constantine couldn't help but gag as the creatures began to feed, shoving chunks of meat into their mouths.
Cyril!
I hissed at the adventurer, having slowly backed away from the feasting horde.
Hurry up and get back here!
Consumed by fear, Cyril stuttered, his eyes fixated on the abominations in front of him.
No!
Natasha let out a sobbing cry, her hand reaching out towards the creatures before us.
No! How did this happen?
Natasha, I'm sorry. Realization dawned upon me as I saw the familiar symbol of the Mages Guild appear on a scrap of clothes one of the creatures wore.
I don't...
A gleaming azure light flared from the stomach of the feasting creatures, all of them turning their now glowing eyes towards us. Nearly 2 dozen tags appeared in my vision, highlighting the creatures. Ether Warped Ghoul, level 10.
Oh, fuck me,
I gasped, the entire horde of ghouls shifting to face us.
Form up! Cyril! Move!
Cyril began to turn, my voice finally breaking through his fear. A blood-curdling scream sliced through the air the second that Cyril turned his back on the ghoul horde. Almost as one, they leaped forward, charging at the elven adventurer with their claws outstretched. Suddenly fueled with energy, they almost instantly closed the distance between them and the fleeing elf, driving their claws brutally into his body as they bore him to the ground. Cyril screamed as the ghouls fell upon him, a pair of arrows and a quartet of magical missiles doing nothing to stop the ghouls from rending apart Cyril's flesh. Cyril's voice ended with a brutal finality as the creatures began pushing and crowding one another with snarls as they fought for position to devour Cyril's flesh. Pushed far from the circle of feasting ghouls, some of the outliers turned to face us.
Charge them!
I shouted, taking a step forward.
Before they all focus on us!
Howling, our entire melee line charged forward, managing 2 entire strides before the ghouls leaped to meet us. Focusing on the ghoul ahead of me, I managed an extra step forward, leading with my shoulder as I slammed into the ghoul's chest, knocking it to the ground. Amaranth, quickly appearing to my right, swiped his claws across the fallen ghoul's legs, drawing forth foul and putrid-smelling blood.
Fuck! That smells just as bad as the queen did!
Unbidden memories couldn't help but surface at the familiar rotting stench. I stabbed down with a shocking touch-charged razor, the tip of the crackling blade thrusting into the creature's pelvis. I twisted the blade, widening the wound as I pulled the blade free. Hissing with rage, the ghoul showed no sign that either of our attacks had even hurt it. It swiped a claw at me as it scrambled to its feet. As it shot to its feet, I couldn't help but notice that the ghoul had once been a woman, remnants of long hair clinging to one side of the ghoul's scalp. Shrieking, the ghoul ignored 2 more long cuts that I managed to land on it, attacking wildly with its claws.
Damn it!
I swore to myself as it carved a long gash into my arm.
How do you fight something that doesn't even feel pain?
With its wickedly sharp claws slicing across my arm, the ghoul finally displayed some emotion. An unearthly squeal of pleasure erupted from the creature as it brought its blood-covered claw to its open maw, a black barbed tongue shooting out to quickly lick it clean. The ghoul trembled like a drug addict finding their favorite fix, its stomach and eyes pulsing with an azure light.
What the fuck? Did it just fucking eat my blood?
It was one thing to see someone else being eaten, or even bitten, but quite another to have it happen to you, especially right in the middle of a fight.
What the fuck is going on with its stomach?
Fueled by my blood, the ghoul fought with a heightened level of ferocity, clawing and biting as it tried to repeat its earlier success. Deciding to accept the risk of being clawed or bitten, I baited the aggressive creature close and grabbed hold of the creature's claw, stabbing razor into its glowing gut. I felt something fight against the blade as I drove it into the creature. Gritting my teeth, I bore down into the thrust, pushing past the resistance until I felt something give way. With a wailing scream as Razor drove itself home, the ghoul panicked against my grip, its other claw grasping the blade and trying desperately to pull it free. With a smile, I decided to indulge the ghoul, letting go of its arm at the same instant I pulled Razor free, planting a heavy kick in the center of the ghoul's chest. The wailing ghoul fell backwards, sending glowing azure-colored liquid spewing into the air as it crashed into the ground. Attempting to close the gaping wound in its stomach, it desperately pressed its claws to its abdomen while trying to scramble away from the rest of the ghoul horde. Somehow sensing the weakness of the ghoul I'd injured, the other ghouls spun toward the fallen one, a hungry expression crossing their decaying faces. A handful leaped upon the wounded ghoul, their claws and teeth sinking into the flesh of their companion as they hungrily drank the glowing fluid.
"What the fuck?"
Dre shouted in surprise, the ghoul he was fighting being among those that had suddenly abandoned their fights in favor of an easier target.
"Stab them in the stomach!" I shouted down the melee line. "That's the only place they feel pain!"
A roaring cry broke out over the din of battle, the line beside Constantine suddenly faltering.
"Lear! Cadmus just went down!"
Drace called to me as he glanced down our battle line.
"I got this! Go!"
"Okay." I slapped Drace on the arm as I ducked out of the line, Amaranth moving to fill in my gap. Running behind the line of battle, I saw Cadmus on the ground with a pair of ghouls straddling his body, as their claws easily tore through his armor and scales. They rent apart flesh with a reckless abandon as they devoured the fallen lizardman, his spirit having fled his ruined body. Hard-pressed to keep up with the higher-leveled creatures, Abaddon, Freya, Thorn, and Helix were forced to retreat a step backwards, as all of the nearby ghouls abandoned their fights and leaped to devour Cadmus's corpse.
"Cadmus!"
Abaddon roared while chopping through a ghoul's wrist as it fled from him.
"No!"
"I'm seeing a pattern here. They all fixate on any source of food they can find." I ran towards Freya and her group, shouting as I arrived, "They are driven by hunger! Take advantage of it and stab their stomachs!"
"Their stomach?"
Freya's face looked haunted as she looked towards the feral pack of ghouls.
"How, Lyrian?"
Thorn hissed at my advice.
"I have a fucking mace! I can't stab shit!"
"Do your best and don't die then!"
I snapped back at the dwarf, stopping next to Freya and replacing Cadmus's spot in their line.
"Let's go, while they're distracted!"
Leaping forward with Freya and the others at my side, I thrust Razor into the back of a goblin-sized ghoul feasting on Cadmus's body, the blade easily driving through the dry and emaciated skin before I felt it hit the familiar resistance of the stomach. Twisting my blade, Razor sliced through the glowing mass, the goblinoid ghoul instantly writhing into a panic.
"Yes!"
Freya shouted in joy as she found similar success, carving a large gash through a second ghoul's stomach and sending the glowing liquid spilling across the ground. From there, the battle descended into chaos, the ghouls attacking and savaging us along with any of their wounded that bled the azure fluid. Our armor was rent by dozens of vicious claws, blood streaming from wicked, weeping wounds that the ghouls inflicted. Caius and Thea strode the line of battle like angels of mercy, their timely ministrations keeping us from joining the fallen. But despite all their efforts, they couldn't be everywhere, nor could they save us all. Overwhelmed by a thousand ever-bleeding cuts, Thorn fell, his body vanishing under the horde of ravaging claws and teeth. Amid the rampaging ghouls, we found ourselves pressed by their relentless fury as they swarmed around us, our lines of battle becoming desperate pockets of blood and metal as we fought back to back, leaving a wide-open path towards our scouts and mages in the rear. Stepping up to defend the others from the ghouls that rushed through our broken line, Halcyon met the charging monsters, his force shield shimmering in gloom. To his surprise, however, the creatures passed through the barrier as if parting a curtain. Their claws sank deep into his flesh, overrunning the brave mage. Mere steps behind, Drace and Constantine arrived far too late to save Halcyon. Instead, they took out their rage on the ghouls that slew him. Fighting desperately, our tactics slowly began to turn the tide. The ghouls' hunger unable to resist the flesh of the fallen, be it ours or theirs. Their numbers dwindled, allowing us to reform our lines and focus our teamwork to wear the ravenous ghouls down. In what seemed like ages later, I thrust Razor into the belly of the final ghoul as I pinned it to the ground. Panting from the exertion of the battle, I stepped onto the creature's flailing claw, having long since severed the other. Its struggles grew weaker as its azure lifeblood bled from around Razor's edge, shuddering under me. Raising my other boot high, I looked down at the creature under me, seeing the tattered insignia of the Iberian Mages Guild on its breast. Its gleaming eyes stared up at me, its teeth snapping as it tried to bring its body close enough to bite me. "Sorry we were too late," I looked down at the ghoul with sorrow. Then I stomped on its head. No one spoke as we walked further into the tower, Carver's show and the fight with the ghouls having taken a toll on our spirits. Halcyon, Cadmus, and Thorn had fallen during the battle, joining Cyril and his friends in death. Granted, we could feel through the party sense that our friends had respawned distantly in Aldford, where we knew Mir was as well, but the loss of their presence here was felt in every step we took. Thankfully, the system worked its subtle magic on our psyche, dulling the memories and pain from the battle, lest our minds snap from what we had experienced. As a whole, I still wasn't sure how I felt, knowing that the game was effectively editing my personality every second I played Ascend Online. But at the moment, I was happy to have the carnage of the battle fade from my mind. There was no sign of Carver or the other adventurers deeper into the tower. Save gaps in the stone ceiling that we could spot a massive pole running overhead of us. Carver had clearly known about the presence of the ghouls and how they would react to the presence of interlopers, baiting them into attacking us so he could escape. Was he trapped up there? I wondered, looking up at the ceiling, realizing there must not have been a route to escape from up there. He had others with him, too. What did Graves do to drive them away? Maybe the spirit possessing him caused it. How the hell did those expedition members end up becoming ether warped? We locked the translocation hub down. Unless there's another ley line here. I scowled at the thought. These fucking ley lines seem to be dangerous to anything that touches it. If they're this fucking common, we'll be wasting all of our time running around the region and plugging them up. Lost in my thoughts, time passed quickly as we walked through the second fragment of the tower. Light spells provided much-needed illumination for those who could not see in the darkness. Much of this portion of the tower had shattered from the fall, giving us a reasonably clear path as we delved deeper into the ruin. Twice we were forced to zigzag our way through long horizontal stairways, reminding us once again of how tall this tower must have been. After climbing out of the second stairway, we found ourselves inside a completely hollow portion of the tower. Only the outer shell of the structure remained. Looking around, my true sight easily pierced through the darkness surrounding us, revealing large piles of dirt in the distance, and of course, another broken length of the long, mysterious pole that had traveled the length of the tower, resting on the ground nearby.
"Where are we?"
Sierra asked nervously, the first to speak since the battle with the ghouls ended.
"I can't see anything."
"We're in the third section of the tower," I whispered, pointing off into the darkness to show where the two pieces of the tower had broken apart and then crashed into one another as they slid down the hill. Realizing too late that no one else could make out where I was pointing, the ceiling above us far enough away that even those with night vision couldn't see.
"The pole we saw along the tower is also here."
"I really wish we knew what it was for,"
Zethus said softly. "Maybe once we put Graves to bed, we can look around here in more detail," Constantine replied. "Halcyon will have to come back here anyway to claim his soul fragment."
"Oh, that's right,"
I mentally winced, having forgotten about the death penalty that Halcyon now carried. With a sigh, I mentally pushed that problem to the future and motioned for everyone to follow me.
"Let's keep moving. We have to be getting close to whatever the goblins dug into. I see a ton of dirt ahead."
"We're almost there,"
Huxley affirmed, pointing almost straight ahead.
"Graves is close."
Leading the way, I stalked forward carefully, my eyes watching for any sign of goblins or other adventurers as we wove our way around piles of dirt that had obviously been carted and dumped here. Looking at the ground, I saw wheel marks where a wheelbarrow or something similar had cut a rut in the hard dirt from repeated passages. Dirt from digging through the hill? I continued to creep forward, following the rut in the ground as it slowly angled towards the center of the room.
It was there we found the pole again, the rut running parallel to it. As with the other lengths of the pole we found throughout the tower, it was featureless and smooth, giving us no clue to what its function may have once been, save that it extended from the very base of the tower to nearly its tip.
Well, what could cause it to do that?
Constantine whispered in surprise as the pole finally came to a rather abrupt end, mushrooming and splintering outwards as if something had exploded inside it.
Whoa,
Caius echoed as he inspected the broken-end metallic pole.
It's solid metal on the inside, through and through, but it looks like he stuck a gigantic firecracker inside it and set it off,
Freya finished.
Yeah.
Caius nodded, scanning the ground around us.
Must have happened during the tower's fall. I don't see any fragments of metal around us.
That's because all the fragments are up there, I said in disbelief, staring nearly straight up at the ceiling towards the eastern half of the room. Something exploded close to the base of the tower when it still stood. I just noticed it now, but the entire ceiling and walls past this point are charred black. I can see pockmarks in the walls from debris, along with cracks from the heat. Everyone looked out into the darkness before looking back at me.
This wasn't just a watchtower, Lear, Constantine said to me.
Yeah, I'm starting to get the same feeling, I replied worriedly.
What could it have been, then?
Helix asked.
I don't know.
I turned to keep walking. But we're about to find out. It didn't take us much longer to find the tunnel that the goblins had dug into the side of the hill, having just continued to follow the seemingly endless piles of dirt that littered the way. At the mouth of the tunnel I saw a pair of crudely built wheelbarrows turned over onto their sides, dirt spilling from them. All around us, discarded tools carelessly littered the ground, having been rudely cast aside as if a great hurry had overcome the laborers.
At least it's human-sized,
Trey said wearily, looking at the width of the tunnel ahead of us.
I don't think I'd be able to make it through if it was any smaller.
I think,
Natasha swallowed hard as she spoke, her voice on the edge of tears.
I think they had the expedition members dig this tunnel. I recognize some of these tools. I'm sorry, Natasha,
Sierra whispered, touching the scout's shoulder.
If any goblins remain, we'll be sure to avenge them.
Thank you, Sierra,
Natasha sniffled, her cracking voice reminding us that she was likely the youngest in the party, NPC or not.
I'll be okay.
We'll take the tools with us, I said, grabbing a steel pickaxe from the ground and putting it into my inventory, everyone else quickly following suit, until no other tools remained on the ground. We'll find a better use for them, rather than leaving them behind for the goblins, or to rot down here forgotten.
Lyrian?
I heard Huxley call my name as he picked up a square piece of metal from the ground.
I think I found something. A plaque of some sort.
A plaque? I echoed with curiosity as I moved to the elf. What does it say? Huxley brushed the sheet of metal off, carefully reading the inscription.
It's in another language, kinda elvish, but not. My linguistic skill can only make out the words annulment spire and the number 985. I think it's in the dark elf language, which I don't know,
Huxley continued after a moment.
And that 985 is a year, maybe the one that this place was built?
Makes sense, I replied slowly. But annulment spire? What does that even mean?
I don't know.
Huxley shrugged, waving the plaque around.
Could be the wrong word, or might be the wrong meaning.
Hang on. Didn't you say the war between the Dark Elves and the Nefar started in 983?
Constantine asked. If this place is Dark Elf made...
Then it took at least 2 years for them to make it this far once the war started,
Huxley answered with a nod.
Minus the time to build this tower, which I guess might have taken them a year. Or maybe the plaque could indicate the day they started building the tower.
It's an interesting bit of history, I agreed, but it doesn't do anything for us right now, and we really should get moving.
Yeah, probably a good idea.
Huxley quickly put the plaque away into his pack. After a quick check to ensure we were ready, we set off into the tunnel with me in the lead. All of us were eager to finally put an end to both Graves and any other adventurers or goblins that followed him. Creeping through the tunnel at a cautious pace, I found myself having to duck my head slightly to avoid cracking it off of the bracing set into the roof and wall. The now familiar color and shape of the wooden braces told me that they had been one of the many pieces scavenged from the rafters of the tower. It's a miracle the roof of the tower didn't collapse on its own with how much wood the goblins tore from it, I thought to myself, shaking my head at their recklessness. Though that doesn't make sense why it fell apart so quickly once it started burning. I have no idea how far we descended down the tunnel before I noticed a faint azure light in the distance ahead of us, causing us to slow our pace as we approached. The light's pulsing, almost like a heartbeat. I suddenly realized, rubbing sweat off my brow, noticing that the temperature had been rising steadily. I really hope we don't need to worry about bad air in here. A hand touched my shoulder, causing me to flinch in surprise as I quickly spun to see Caius staring at me with a finger across his lips. He pointed ahead, then to his heart and ears, before looking at me expectantly. He can hear blood ahead of us. I nodded at the warlock to show I understood his message, motioning to my sword, then miming running feet with my fingers. Caius nodded, holding up a hand as he passed the message down the line, eventually giving me the thumbs up. Here we go. With my heart thundering in my chest, I gripped Razor tightly and padded down the final stretch of the tunnel. Shattered white bricks crunched under my feet as I approached the passage's mouth.
Holy shit!
I was forced to momentarily shield my eyes as an intense wave of magic washed over me, revealing a blazing pillar of azure energy centering the room ahead, spanning from floor to ceiling. After my eyes readjusted, I saw that the tunnel had breached a huge vertical chamber, set deep within the hillside, directly under where the tower had once stood. Impossibly white bricks covered every facet of the chamber, somehow reflecting the pulsing aura of the pillar and casting the center of the room in a deep azure tint. What the hell is that? Nestled in the heart of the azure fire was a fist-sized object of near infinite darkness, hungrily drinking in every iota of energy directed to it. So strong was the draw that the edges of the pillar seemed to constrict and deform around the dark shape, as if it were a miniature black hole, consuming everything around it. A short distance below me, a crimson aura bloomed in my vision as Graves stepped into sight, walking along a raised dais that surrounded the base of the burning column. He gazed upwards into the storm of energy before him, a familiar-looking blue-skinned goblin carrying a skull-tipped staff following him close by. A tag helpfully appeared in my vision, pointing to the goblin below. Goblin Shaman, Matadra, Boss, Level 12. That looks like the same kind of goblin that we fought at the translocation hub, but this one is named and a boss creature. My eyes widened as the aura around Graves formed into a familiar-looking shape. There's the king's ghost. The spirit I remembered shadowing Graves when we last fought no longer hung high above him, but instead was now superimposed over his very body. Both Graves and the spirit now moved in sync, as if the ghost had somehow settled deeper into Graves's flesh. Movement in the corner of my eye had me turning my head to see a dozen goblin stalkers, level 10, standing on the very edge of the chamber, pressed hard against the outer wall. Writhing on the ground before them lay three ragged prisoners, their faces contorted in pain. Some of the expedition members are still alive. I could see the familiar white insignia flash in the azure light as one of the distant figures tried to push themselves closer to the outer wall the goblins had huddled against. What are they trying to do here? Looking back, I saw the blue-skinned goblin raise its staff up high, a ball of fire forming in the maw of the skull. The ball shot forth and slammed into the dark sphere hanging high above them, the impacts causing it to rock back and forth, bending the energy of the pillar as it moved. A second fireball quickly followed, crashing into the sphere at the apex of its arc, forcing it outside the bounds of the pillar. Instantly, the darkness of the sphere faded, falling to the ground with a weak thump as it rolled across the floor. No longer inhibited, the blazing column of energy intensified, coating the entire chamber with even brighter azure light.
At last!
A discordant voice echoed through the room as Graves spread his arms wide, stepping onto the dais.
I can rid myself of this prison of flesh!
Oh, shit. He's gonna walk into the pillar. I swallowed hard as I leaped down from the mouth of the tunnel and into the chamber. I heard Caius and the others hit the ground behind me, close on my tail. I need to get closer. It's too far away to blink step.
Graves!
I shouted, my voice booming through the chamber as I ran. I hoped that the surprise of our arrival would buy me enough time to get close.
Did you think I wouldn't find you here?
Spinning at the sound of my voice, both Graves and Matadra looked at me with surprise, their gaze shifting to see the rest of the group emerging from the tunnel behind me. I heard shrieks as the other goblins rushed to intercept me.
Hope this gets me close enough.
Lunging forward, I triggered Blinkstep, my vision blurring as I teleported across the room, arriving just 10 feet away from Graves. The familiar warmth of ether coming from the pillar greeted me, my body instantly feeling energized in its light.
Go!
The goblin shaman shouted as it stepped into my path, blocking my route to Graves, fire blazing from the skull on its staff as it spewed forth a torrent of flame. I instinctively covered my face with my arm as the flames washed over me, feeling my eyebrows and beard burn away. I felt the armor covering my arm and shoulder melt into my flesh under the searing fire the shaman channeled, all the while flashing red alerts appeared in my combat log. Goblin Shaman Matadra burns you with spewing flames for 38 points of fire damage. Goblin Shaman Matadra burns you with spewing flames for 43 points of fire damage. Goblin Shaman Matadra burns you with spewing flames for 47 points of fire damage. Relentlessly pushing forward, I broke through the flames, slashing Razor downwards in the spot where I last saw the Goblin Shaman. The flames cut off, the goblin quickly interposing its bone staff to keep Razor from chopping into its head.
You are too late, mortal!
Graves' discordant voice boomed in front of me. A sneer crossed his face as I momentarily took my eyes off Matadra to look at him. Taking his gaze off me, he stepped into the blazing furnace of power, the crimson ore of the king's spirit immediately tainting the well of magic, causing the chamber to vibrate.
Witness my rebirth!
No!
The skull of the goblin staff slammed into the side of my face, sending me staggering to the side. I dizzily swiped Razor in an arc, cursing myself for taking my eyes off the shaman for so long. Forcing my attention back onto the large blue-skinned goblin, I charged towards it before it could point the flaming head of the staff at me. I kicked out at the staff the same instant a fireball spewed forth from its maw, harmlessly splashing against the chamber floor. Continuing my stride, I slammed my shoulder into the goblin's body, sending it reeling backwards a step. I followed up with a crackling razor, discharging a fistful of electricity into the shaman and cutting a shallow wound through its fur-armored shoulder. My hand shot out, intent on grabbing the goblin by the throat and strangling the life from it. However, the goblin shaman quickly recovered from my shocking touch, throwing a hand forward, which flashed with an intense flash of light, temporarily blinding me.
Fuck!
I ducked my face, arm reflexively shielding my eyes once again as I fervently tried to blink the gigantic white afterimage out of my vision.
I'm coming!
Amaranth's concerned voice echoed in my mind.
Hold on! Hurry!
I mentally shouted back at my familiar, feeling another torrent of fire splash over me. Running forward, the edges of my vision began to clear, only to be replaced by a pulsating crimson light bathing the room. Casting about wildly, I saw Graves' silhouette floating high above me in the heart of the ether column. Molten metal began to drip from the ceiling as the increasing vibrations began to shake the entire chamber. A large drop of metal splashed to the ground, nearly hitting me as it sizzled atop the stone. Looking upwards, I saw the rapidly melting tip of the pole we had followed through the tower earlier, centered in the middle of the ceiling. The pole was buried this deep? The shaking quickly grew in intensity, knocking everyone in the room off their feet. Bricks began to shake themselves loose, crashing to the ground all around us as the chamber shook itself apart. Lying sprawled out on the ground, I couldn't help but twist myself to look back at the tunnel, expecting to see it collapse and trap us here. With a final gut-wrenching quake, a thundering flash of crimson energy exploded from Graves's floating form, shattering the well set in the ground. The burning column of magic instantly vanished, momentarily plunging the room into darkness. I felt stone shrapnel slam into me, some piercing through my armor and into my flesh as the blast sent me sliding across the floor.
What the fuck just happened?
I moaned in pain as I collected myself. Slowly pushing myself up off the floor, my augmented vision easily cut through the darkness, revealing everyone slowly picking themselves up off the floor. I looked towards the center of the room, suddenly seeing a crimson apparition burst into being on top of Graves's floating form, filling the room with a bright, malevolent light.
"I live again!"
the apparition roared as Graves's body fell to the ground with a crash.
"The second rain of slain."